The following program contains views and opinions which are not necessarily those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.
And now for something completely different.
Here's what's coming up this hour on Today's Experience. It's most excellent, most entertaining, most interesting, and muy bueno. Good Monday, as we chase away the blues with God's truth and get our hearts and minds ready to tear down every prideful and lying argument and bring our lives into alignment with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. That's good. First up, I have waited until 8 days away from the election to drop this wisdom blast on you. And some of you, when I say it, you're going to go, no. But how willing are you to grow in the Lord? That's the only question I have. And then next, can you imagine any Christian defending the rights of a person to be an atheist? Well, I can imagine it, and I do, and I will. So step up, Buttercup. It ain't going to be pretty. And finally, essentials and non-essentials are what separate believers from one another. But if this particular essential is not believed, then the person who does not believe it is not a believer. Get it?
David Spoon's life has been an experience. While growing up in a Jewish family, he made a wrong turn towards drug abuse. Then David Spoon found Jesus Christ, and his life completely changed. The more he studied the gospel, the more he wanted to share his experiences with others. After 35 years of ministry, David discovered a new path of service. He joined KAAM, and this radio program began. You're about to hear the David Spoon Experience.
Welcome to the David Spoon Experience. Local, national, and heavenly talk. Here's what else we're looking at during the show. Lessons for surviving, living, and prevailing. Politics, entertainment, and current events. Personal revelations. Spiritual observations. My life's insanities. And oy vey, so much more. Hey, we're asking you what you think. There is so much to do in today's show. I don't know if I can get it all done. First of all, Terrific Tea is back. Welcome back. Glad to have you. Always good to have you.
Thank you.
All right. Here's a couple things to tell you. If you want to reach out to us, 972-445-0770. If you call in, she will answer the phone and get you over towards me, and it'll be, just as we've been saying, right as rain. And it'll feel like warm chocolate cookies. Actually, Noelle made chocolate cookies, homemade chocolate cookies over the weekend. So I had.
Oh, I bet they were good.
They were
too.
So good. They were so good. I paid for it today. I did go to the gym, but there was this extra about 15 minutes. I just didn't, you know, that was the cookie zone. That's what I was in when I was like, I wish I was eating cookies. All right, so you can call or you can text 214-210-8483. You know you can do that. Keep in mind, it is for praise reports, prayer requests, pop questions. Like, we do our best to answer them. If we can answer them on the spot, we will. Some people are wondering about Halloween. I am going to talk about Halloween, but not till later. You should kind of get a vibe from me on where I'm going from that. I mean, for the most part, I'll just keep it simple. Most of this is going to be up to you. If you and your church aren't people that celebrate Halloween, don't celebrate. If you and your church are people that celebrate Halloween but don't do dark themes, fine. If you are a person that wants to have your whole group dress up like Jesus and the 12 apostles, go ahead. I mean, it's like you got to do what's right before you. I don't know how it's going to happen just because with the COVID thing, I don't know what do people ring the bell and then you open the door and then you stand back 6 feet and then what, you throw the candy? Is that
I actually don't think they're doing Halloween this
They're not.
Year.
Are they not doing it at all?
Trick-or-treating.
Well, when you go in our neighborhood, they have all these pumpkins. Everybody's got pumpkins. So I don't know what's – I don't have any ideas. We always buy a bag of candy, but we are well aware that if nobody comes, yeah, we're eating it. So we always buy candy for us.
That's, might as well.
I mean, it's not all getting passed out. But anyway, we'll talk about that later, and that's another thing. I do want to let you know, ding-ding-ding, this is a good clap, ovation kind of thing. This is technically our 400th show. So we have done 400 of these. Now, it's actually more like 405, but we have a couple of them that are lost and a couple of repeats and so on. So it's 400, so just leave it there. It's kind of like Christmas. Might not be the exact moment, but it's where we're celebrating, so leave it alone. First question, pretty easy, should be pretty cool. What is greater than faith and more powerful than hope? What is greater than faith and more powerful than hope? That is our trivia question. If you want to get that rolling right off the bat, keep in mind any topic is open for conversation. Why is that? Well, because it's not professional radio. It's just radio. It's a cross between Steve Martin, Sean Hannity, and Focus on the Family, the David Spoon Experience. So buckle up, little campers. Here we go. First and foremost, I want to say that I would appreciate prayers from my brother. I woke up this morning and just had this woo feel. Did you ever wake up and get this like woo feeling? And turned out after about a few minutes of getting up, see, redemption and forgiveness is in the blood. Waking up is a little bit in the coffee. And so I... coffee got going. And my brother ended up, he was in the hospital. He had some serious internal pains, which he's not in the hospital now, but I just had that sense something was going on. So I've been praying for him. So I just asked the audience to pray about a half the music, not half the music, probably about an eighth of the music from the show comes from him. Is that somewhere in that ballpark? His name is Billy. Just keep him in prayer so that, you know, it's always, when you're in the hospital, it's lonely. I don't care what anybody says, even if you have people around you. So just pray for him that he recovers. I'd appreciate it. Okay. All right. So the trivia question, straightforward, not difficult. What is greater than faith and more powerful than hope? If you think you know the answer, you can call in or you can text in. People are already responding, and I think that's great. Let's do our DNA, and then I'm going to do something that I haven't done yet, and people are going to go, no, no, but I love you. See, that just, it makes it easier, doesn't it? Right? It's like when you give bad news, but you do it in a nice way. Like, the world is collapsing in a black hole, and everything's being sucked out of it, and there won't be anything left. See, it's a lot cheerier. You see how that works? There you go. That's why I love tea. All right, you ready? You ready to do some DNA? All right, here we go. DNA, draw closer to the Lord.
Daily.
Never be ashamed. And always be ready.
To serve.
There you go. Excellent job. All right. I'm going to start this show off with something you've not heard me talk about in depth, and I'm going to do it real carefully. So what is this? This is Monday, and I think this is, I don't even know what the date is. It's the 20, what is it? Six, five, four, six, seven, six. Six. T is trying to tell me what's the day. It's the 26th. And a week from tomorrow, we're doing the election. And we don't know if we're going to know. I've got a challenge for you in the next 8 days. Now, it's only for one of the 8 days. But I'm going to challenge you. And you're thinking, can you do what you're about to do? You bet. Watch this. I'm asking you. We've done it before, but I'm going in depth here. I'm going after you. I'm asking you for 12 to 24 hours. Okay, so that's 12 hours to 24 hours. Half a day. Take a break, listen to me, from any media outlet, listen to what I say, that portrays Christians in a negative spin. That's all I'm saying. Just for 12 to 24 hours, any TV, any radio. Look, if you need to take a break from this show, got it. No problem. Any web stuff, any magazines, just take a break from anything that is degrading to your faith. Just 12 to 24 hours, okay? Anybody who makes fun of, belittles, or ridicules Christian beliefs, just take a break from me listening or responding. If you're a person that follows certain leaders or celebrities or athletes or people in the public eye and they're not Christian, pro-Christian, all I'm saying, take a break. Just take 12 hours, take a fast, do a media fast, okay? And the reason that I'm asking you to do that is the same reason that when you go to a restaurant and you have a $200 dinner, they give you this really weird stuff in between your segments of your meals to clean your palate. And the reason is so that you can get the most enjoyment out of what you're going to participate in. The reason that I'm doing that is I'm asking you to do that so that you can clean your palate. In the Lord, you can just have the best of God without any kind of pollution. That's all I'm saying. Now, we know that people who claim to be Christians but don't know Jesus, okay, they're not Christians. It's not genius. You can't be a Christian apart from Christ. You can't know Christ apart from the Gospels. Hey, the Bible contains the Gospels. Hey, there you go. And it's pretty simple, pretty straightforward. All I'm asking you to do is to genuinely take a break. And while you think that seems kind of strange, it is simply to reset yourself, kind of like a computer, reset yourself. Somebody calling in? Oh, yeah, we got somebody. Okay, here we go. This is David. Who am I talking to? Hello? Hello? Somebody there? Going once? Going twice? Okay, cannot hear. Are they there? Nope. Have them call back. Okay, that's fine. All right, so the reason that we're doing that, okay, if you just called in and you were on hold, just call back. We're just having a little tech problem. Is simply to cleanse your mind so that you are not so consumed. Listen to what I'm saying. You are not so consumed. I have nothing to do with you voting. You should vote. You should participate. You should do all those things. All I'm asking you to do is take a little bit of a break, a deep breath. Because you know it's going to ramp up over the next 7, 8, 9 days, and things are going to get more intense. And before it overloads you, you want to have a little peace in your system, okay? You want to have a little bit of straightforwardness. You ready? Okay. This is David. Who am I talking to? Hello? 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 Okay. We're having tech problems. Hello, hello, hello. That's okay. What we'll do is it could be on the board here. So I don't know. Let me see. Hello? Nope. Okay. Not working. Okay. That's, well, we're off to a good start. See, we've done this 400 times. That's because we're good. All right. So the reason that I would ask you to do that is to take this break and seek first the kingdom of God. Seek first him. Cut out all the other noise. Get this. How many times Jesus went apart, not only from the crowds, but even from his own disciples, and just spent time alone with the Lord. And all I'm asking you to do is to find that closet and spend that extra time. You know things are going to ramp up. I know you know that. And the reason that I'm asking you to do this media fast is simply to help you draw closer to the Lord as things happen. Good, bad, or indifferent, in your favor, not in your favor, the way you want, the way you don't want, doesn't matter. Take a break and be with God. You're going to spend eternity with God, get a taste of what that's going to be like, and that would be the way to go about it, all right? So I'm encouraging everybody to do a media fast. We got a lot of deep teaching that we're heading into and that we're going to go into, but first we're going to take a break. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break, and then we'll be back.
The David Spoon Experience.
I am such a sinner. Not just a sinner. I am such a sinner. I'm like the biggest sinner ever. That's how I felt. And then it was the understanding that God really cared about me. And therein lies the key. Because God did care. He does care. And it's the same for you. You're listening to me. He does care. And that pain you're going through, it makes him weep. And you might say, well, you can't back that up spiritually or scripturally. Yes, I can. John chapter 11, verse 35. Jesus wept, not for Lazarus. Lazarus was getting up in 5 minutes, but all the grief and the pain around him. Come on. God has a heart. His heart's bigger than your heart. So here's part of the things that I mean, I'm skipping light years. I'm just going past it. But it's like when that guy started crying and I started getting mad, and then he said it was, this is how the Lord feels for you, and this is the Lord's heart for you. It just showed me I'm so hard hearted. I'm like a rock, but not in a good way. You know, I'm like a dumb rock. Like, oh man, what's the matter with me? And so, you know what he did when he was done doing that? Because now I'm gone, right? Because now, how do you think after that happens, how do you think I feel? Okay. So now I'm like
please pray for me. That's right, because I'm just lost. And he prays for me, and it's powerful. It's like, you know, it's unbelievable. It's just really, very, really powerful. Here's the thing that leads up to it. Now, ready? Because and that is the powerful point, especially when he cried. But it turns out that I went to that church for a little while. You want to hear something absolutely, positively, mind-blowing, amazing? 3 months later, on a Sunday night, I was preaching in that church. And I was preaching Romans 1:16, the very first thing I ever taught in my life. In that church, in Pastor David Huntsworth Church, Abundant Life in Dillon, Colorado. And I'll tell you one thing that I hope you really hear. And that is that one experience so affected me, I was never the same person again. It just showed me that God really does care. We're pretty hard-hearted. Yeah, we're mashugi from time to time. Not God. He's totally awesome.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. So it turns out that we had a little bit of technical glitch on our end, and I will I can't really take responsibility. It was just a basketball switchover when they were playing the game and switching over and so on and so forth. So we still have that same question out. We're going to let that person call back. Or if you're another person, because they can't call and you want to call in, the trivia question is straightforward, not complex. What is greater than love? Oh, my goodness. I just gave away the answer. Is this the 400 show? Can we make this $3.99?
All right. Let's go back to $3.99.
All right. This is $3.99. Tomorrow will be $400. Forget it. We'll just do a new trivia question. The question was, what is greater than faith and more powerful than hope? The answer was love. Okay. I blew that one. Yeah, it's not the first time I've done that either. Fine. Here's the next question. David's occupation before he was a king. What was his occupation before he was a king? Okay. He had an occupation. Did something. What'd he do? What'd he do? Ha, ha, ha. Right back on the track. You can call 972-445-0770. This time it will get through. And we will treat you right as rain. Right as rain. You can also text in 214-210-8483. See, somebody's calling in, and this was probably the person that called in before. So now we're going to verify that this works, or this is going to be 398th show. Okay? All right. So we're gonna not take this. Yes. Here we go. This is David. Who am I talking to?
This is June.
Hi. How are you? Yay. It worked. Yay. Awesome. Okay. Awesome. 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 So let me double check it. Here's the question. Pretty straightforward. King David, pretty good profession to be a king. Okay. That's not a bad one. What was he before that?
Shepherd.
That is correct. You are right. He was a shepherd. I don't know if he was working for his dad, so he probably didn't have the David R. Shepherd kind of thing, but although you never know, but I'm just saying he was probably just a shepherd, but that was his profession. It's amazing how that the shepherd was his prior position to being king. And do you remember when Jesus was born, who was the first message to? Who was the first person who heard about his birth, the public birth? Who did the angels first appear to when he was born? Do you remember?
Shepherds.
Shepherds! There you go. There you go.
The shepherd was the lowliest position, and the king was the highest position.
That, there you go. See how good you are? Well, you should come on the show. Good job. Excellent, and way to help us get our phone system back in order. You have saved the day. Excellent work.
Thank you.
All right, God bless.
It wasn't me. It was the Lord.
Oh, amen. All right. Awesome. Okay. So we're back on track. Ding, 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 ding. And don't think I forgot. I did not forget because we still have to remember our website. Website, hemustincrease.org, hemustincrease.org. Email David at hemustincrease.org. Facebook, He Must Increase Ministry. YouTube, He Must Increase Ministry. There you go. Don't forget our website. We have a couple. What is this? It's the 26th, right? So we got like 5-4 days left. And you can give if you give. And if you don't want to give, you don't have to give. But if you want to give, you can give. There's that opportunity. You know, every time I talk about the election, it seems like it just has a, I want to say this, I don't know what it is.
It's like, oh.
Yeah, and you know what it is? It's like, I understand it, and I have respect for all the other shows and all the other people that are doing stuff. I love that. We just, our job is to help people draw closer to the Lord. And that's what we're going to do. In lieu of that, do I have a teaching you're going to hate? At least I'm honest about it. Here it is, Psalm 106, verses 12 through 15. And then you're going to think, how did he get this out of that? But watch this. When there were only a few in number, very few, and strangers in it, and they wandered about from nation to nation, from one kingdom to another people, he permitted no man to oppress them, and he reproved kings for their sakes. Do not touch my anointed, he said, and do my prophets no harm. This is out of Psalm 106, verse 12 through 15. Now, I'm going to tell you something you haven't heard very much on Christian radio stations or on Christian shows, okay? I think it's terrible for people to be atheists, okay? Let me just say, an atheist, and the word atheist means no God, a no theist God. Okay, an agnostic is ag is no, or ag is no, and then gnostic is knowledge. So an atheist is somebody who doesn't believe there is a God, and an agnostic is somebody who doesn't know if there's a God. See that difference? Atheist, agnostic. Atheist, agnostic. Okay, here's the thing I'm going to tell you. A person, okay, I'm not talking about election, I'm not talking about free will, and I'm not talking about predestination. As it sits, a person can decide on our side of things, not God's side of things, on our side of things, a person can decide there is no God. And you know who lets them do that to that degree is God. If God didn't think any atheists should exist, they would not. Do you understand that? He gives people the opportunity to choose right from wrong, just like in the garden, to choose to walk in the spirit of flesh. He wants you to walk one way. To not walk the right way is wrong and will have consequences, but people still make the choice, right? It's not that God doesn't know the choice. It's just that people are responsible for the choices that they make. And why that's important is because even as Christians, you and I in this country should believe that the truth is greater than the lie. And so if somebody tells a lie about the existence of God, you should have more confidence in the truth that the truth will prevail. I mean, that's just a reality check for Christians everywhere. And so this passage in 106, 12 through 15, I just want you to catch what's going on. This passage has to do with God telling people, leaders, Gentile leaders, about his Jewish people, don't touch them. Don't touch my anointed ones. Don't do my prophets any harm. Don't you even lay a finger on them. Now, what's happened is that pastors who have control issues have taken this verse and tried to say this applies to a person disagreeing with the pastor. We would call those church cults. Okay? I will make this as clear as I can make this. When your pastor defers to Psalm 106, verse 12 through 15, he's being cultic because the verse has to do with the children of Israel. When it says, touch not my anointed ones, anointed is what the word for Messiah or chosen ones are, and that's what that is. Touch not my anointed ones, my chosen ones, which are all the people of God. And do my prophets, which are all the people of God, most specifically in the New Testament, we may all prophesy one by one, and do my prophets no harm. This passage has nothing to do with God judging members in a church that disagree with their pastor. And any pastor that tells you otherwise is not a true shepherd. You think, wow, Dave, that's very bold. I wrote a whole book about it. Like, there is no room. Christ means anointed ones. Anointed ones can be seen as Christians. It's not just leaders in verse 14. By the way, here is something you should really understand. Leadership that requires blind, unchallengeable faith in their followers are breaking five major truths. Did you hear that? I just want to make sure everybody hears that. And the reason is because you have a responsibility to prove all things and to test all things. Anybody that requires blind leadership, unchallengeable. Now, I'm not talking politics, folks. I'm talking church. And you might think, "Boy, that's so brash, that's so bold." This is a common faith, not a "I'm better than you" faith. This is a nobody glories before the Lord. There is one superstar. There is one king, one Messiah, one who is in charge, and we are not it. God, I want you to make sure you understand this, allows the choice to disagree even with him, or there never would have been an atheist that ever existed ever. Now, there's consequences to those choices. Remember, Adam and Eve. So the first truth is, if God allows people to choose a different direction or disagree, how could any pastor say anything less? Number two, Paul said, "Follow me as I follow Christ." The person who's following has to evaluate whether that leader is following Christ. Did you get that? The next thing on that is blind, unquestionable faith is a classic cult tactic, has no place in the house of God. I'm telling you right now, if you're in a church that says you must do everything I say because I'm your pastor and I represent God to you, hit the door. Just hit bye, because that's wrong. That's not godly. That's not Christian. The purpose of leadership is to serve and to build up, not to control. Here's the most important point, and I'm so glad that we did this question. Jesus is the chief shepherd. Do you know what that means? He's called the chief shepherd. Do you know what that means? That means that at best, even the greatest person anywhere on the planet is at best a sub-shepherd. And here's the ultimate reason why you have to be taking responsibility for who you follow, what churches you go with. And that's why, even in the beginning of this show, you notice I said, if your church is for it, you know, that's one thing. If your church is against it, you're going to that church because you're going voluntarily. Nobody's forcing you to go there. If you're following that sequence, that's great. But here's the bottom line. You stand before God. That person who's in leadership is not standing before God for you on Judgment Day. You're standing before God. You have a responsibility. Now, if in your conscience you can't do anything connected to the Halloween, don't. Just don't do it. Don't do anything. And blessed is the man who does not condemn himself in which the things he allows. You're blessed if you just stay in that place. That's cool. If you do, but you want to be very careful, great. If you don't want anything to do with it, great. I have a great friend who thinks that frogs are a satanic problem and turtles are a satanic problem. Don't tell my grandkids. I love them. I just disagree. That's fine. That's part of it. But you and I have the responsibility. All right. Take a break and come back. Some even more intense teaching. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back.
The David Spoon Experience is now run by He Must Increase Ministry. What this means is that we are no longer operating as a regular business, but as a nonprofit ministry that is devoted to increasing the ministry of Jesus Christ. Our mission is to educate, encourage, and entertain Bible believers, the wounded and forgotten believers, and the not yet believers through biblical truths. We are funded by listeners like yourselves and ministry partners that want to provide sponsorships for the show. Your donations are 100% tax deductible. And the great news is, if you donate to our ministry and help us advance the kingdom of God, we won't give you a thing. That's right, you'll get no special prize or gimmick. You won't ever get an anointed Bible or penny in acrylic so that you're never penniless, or a guarantee that you'll become rich just because you gave. Your giving will support our unique idea of biblical encouragement. And what you'll receive is a receipt for your giving at the end of the year. It's all about sowing and reaping. Cast your bread upon the water and it will return to you. And if you sow bountifully, you will reap bountifully. But you'll be laying up treasures in heaven. And that's the most excellent place to receive the best return for the longest time on your investment. What happens if you don't give? Nothing, except more commercials like this one. Let's spare everyone from more commercials like this one. Go to hemustincrease.org. That's hemustincrease.org. And give if you're led to and if you're able to. Let's keep the show going and help increase its time and reach. You must like this show a little bit because, after all, you're hearing this commercial, right? Thank you.
What is the David Spoon Experience?
GOP congressman's gay son was going to come on their show, and they were going to talk to him, and CNN and MSNBC canceled the interview because he wouldn't criticize his father. He wouldn't downgrade his father because his father maintained his beliefs. His son becomes gay, makes a decision, by the way, to become gay. And the son will not criticize the father who does not change his Christian convictions. Will not change them. Father won't change them. Son will not criticize the father for that. MSNBC and CNN both canceled their interviews because the guy would not crucify his father. That is, of all things, as low as the press can go. Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Okay, got a cool trivia question for you guys. A cool one, okay? And yes, I know that's no longer correct. That's not as low as the press can go. They can go a lot lower. How low can you go? Here's a good one. To whom did Jesus say, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life? To whom did he say it to? Don't forget about our website, hemustincrease.org. Website, hemustincrease.org, hemustincrease.org. Email David at hemustincrease.org. Facebook, He Must Increase Ministry. YouTube, He Must Increase Ministry. Okay, don't forget, hemustincrease.org. Like we said, we've got so many days left in the month. Do your best you can. We appreciate that. We think that's great. Let's see. I got some new announcements. Believe it or not, we have a new announcement. We have somebody that wants to become more of a sponsor in the show, and so we're having a meeting. I know. So we're having a meeting tomorrow, and I think that'll be very cool. I don't want to give you any information on that yet until we have the meeting, and all is good, and we have everybody's A-OK. You see, that's what I make everybody do, sign a thing that says A-OK, and it's just a misspelling of the word oak. That's all that is. All right, somebody's calling in on the trivia question. We're going to get that answered first. Then we're going to do history, and then we're going to do discussion on essentials. This is David. Who am I talking to?
Hey, good afternoon, David. This is Al.
Hey, How Alan. Good to talk to you, my friend. Good to talk to you. How are you?
I'm good. I can dig this a trivia question.
All right. It's a good one, huh? Because you always hear about John 3:16. You even see it at the football games or at the sporting events, but you don't think he said that to somebody. Who did he say it to?
Was that to Nicodemus?
That is correct, sir!
All right.
Excellent job. And it's just one of those things you think about, and you know the passage so well, but it's easy to forget that connecting to the earlier chapter of chapter 3 when he goes through the discussion. And it's like, because it's such a standalone scripture, you think about it in those standalone ways. So excellent job. Mm-hmm. Excellent work.
Well, good.
Thank you,
Have
my brother.
Have a great day today, man.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
All right, bye-bye.
Good work. Very good. Caught that one. That's a good one. That's a good one. All right. Let's get into history. What do we got? History? We do.
Let's go live in the past. Let's go live in the past.
Okay. For those that do not know, it is Horseless Carriage Day. See, I think when they put some of these
just a horse?
I think it's just the carriage. I think it's just a car.
Oh, so the carriage day.
Yeah, it's like the horseless carriage, Although I will tell you what I saw, and I don't know if I don't think I mentioned this to you, but this is one of the funnier things that I saw. I saw a guy, and he took a mop bucket, okay, a mop bucket, right? He sat in it, and he took a handheld but powerful leaf blower. And he turned it underneath his arm and turned it on, and the thing pushed him, and he was going down the road in a bucket with a leaf blower.
Wow!
That would be a horseless carriage right there. See, it's a good way to think of that right there. Think that through. It's a National Pumpkin Day. That's good. Are you a pumpkin pie fan by chance?
Do like pumpkin pie. But, you know, somebody has to make it right.
Yeah, you got to make it right. And if it's not having the Cool Whip, I has to.
Exactly.
Has to have it. I'm sorry. Cool Whip. Has to have it. Just whip. All right. And then it's Texas Chicken Fried Steak Day.
Hey, good.
Last couple things, and we'll move it on. 1881 on this day, the famous gunfight at the OK Corral takes place in Tombstone, Arizona. I want to know when they were all there together before this took place, who named it the OK Corral? Well, it's a really great corral. No, it's not that great. Well, what do you think about it? It's okay. It's the OK Corral, just okay. Don't tell me that's not funny. 1984, the Terminator movie is released in theaters. Yes, I understand people are like, that's Terminator. We can't. That's Terminator. I took my son to it.
I am the Terminator.
I will be back. Okay. It was fun then. I don't care what it's become. Then it was fun. And then last thing you really need to know, first American to qualify for World Chess Championship 1971 on this day, 28-year-old Bobby Fischer, who went on to win. So there you go. A little bit of chess for those that are into the chess part of it. Here we go. I want to make sure everybody understands essentials and non-essentials in Christian faith. So, yeah, my last teaching is a little tough. That, by the way, being a person that says your pastor is not the ruler and the end-all of end-all is not a permission slip to criticize. I'm just simply saying they don't have the authority that Jesus has in your life, nor shall they ever, nor should they shall they ever, and that's a definite issue. In the meantime, there are things that you will come across that are essentials and non-essentials in the Christian faith. And ironically, in apologetics, which is defending the faith, there are only a couple of things, believe it or not, that have emerged as absolute necessities. And there is one that stands above all the other elements. It's amazing. If you get into this, it's just amazing how much writing and teaching and studying and commentary has gone using the scriptures and trying to pull them together and make a systematic understanding out of it. It's just absolutely the most important essential truth is this one I'm going to share. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 1 through 4. Now, brothers, I want to clarify for you the gospel I proclaim to you. The gospel I proclaim to you. You received it and have taken your stand upon it. So not only do you get it, you stand on it. And you are also saved by it if you hold to the message. So people that say once saved, always saved, that's true as long as that's not a I believed once, but I don't believe anymore. As long as it's a continual active faith, which will then produce actual activities in your life. You are also saved by it if you hold to the message I proclaim to you, unless you believe for no purpose. I passed on to you as most important what I also received. Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he was raised on the third day according to the scriptures. That is essential. There is no Christian fellowship if that is in denial, that Jesus died for our sins and that he was buried and that he rose again. Just to make it clear, I don't want anybody to misunderstand, it's not that other people aren't going to call themselves Christians. I understand that. A lot of people call themselves Christians, okay? They don't even have a clue who Jesus is, and they don't care because Christian is a nice cover. It's kind of like, you know, kind of an Americanism for too many people. It's like, you know, apple pie. It's like that kind of message. You can't have that. You have to have an absolute belief that Jesus died for our sins, according to the word, he was buried, and that he rose again on the third day. We just want you to recognize that it's something that we not only know, but that we stay. And the word clarify, when Paul uses that in his own Greek, it means to make known or to stay within the mind. And so when he says, I want to clarify to you, he's saying, I want this to stay within your mind. I want this to stay within your thinking. The gospel is the good news. It's the kingdom. It's God. It's Jesus. It could also be called the gospel of the kingdom, the gospel of God, the gospel of Jesus, the gospel of Christ, the gospel of grace, the gospel of the grace of God, gospel of salvation, the gospel of peace. Fine. But it has to be received, standed in, and say you receive it, you stand on it, and you're saved by it. It doesn't always start with the gospel. You don't start with the gospel and then go somewhere else. Well, now that I've exceeded the wisdom of the gospel, now I obtain thereby exceedingly great knowledge. Wrong, 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 wrong. You start with the gospel, you stay with the gospel, you are always in the gospel, and the big difference between everything else in the universe and what you as a Bible believer is the gospel. It is the good news. You start with it, you stay in it, you remain in it, and it goes into eternity with us. And then it says, if you hold. And why that's important, we just did that John 3:16 verse. It says in the King James, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and his only begotten son, that whosoever should believeth is the continual action of believing. It's not a one-time, one-moment belief. It's ongoing. Never stops. So the breakdown is Christ died for our sins, he was buried, and he was raised on the third day according to the scriptures. Okay. All right. This is David. Who am I talking to?
Hello, David. This is Stephen.
Hi, Stephen. How are you?
I'm all right. Just a comment along your lines. In John, it says you believe on the name of Jesus Christ. You believe on his name. And what most of us in this age don't understand is in that age, a name had a very true meaning, and if we don't understand what the meaning of that name was, we don't stand believing on his name.
Exactly, and an excellent point, especially because in our day and age, name doesn't have the same representation as it did then, when name represented all that a person did and all that a person was and all of their functionalities and other reputation, where they came from and where they were going. Now, name is just a name. I mean, we name pets. I mean, it's like it doesn't have the same value.
Amen.
Amen. Excellent job, my brother. Thank you for that call, and good job on clarification. Excellent work. Okay. Very good. All right, we can take our break and come back. We got so much more. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back.
Moving is hard. It's a moment that everyone dreads. But wait, there's an answer. Jesus can help. And for the moving parts, Men of God Moving is there for you. Men of God Moving is a full-service Christian moving company that is locally owned and operated, serving the entire Dallas and Fort Worth area. Men of God Moving helps with homes, apartments, offices, long and short distance relocations, and so much more. They offer packing and unpacking services, loading and unloading, assembling and disassembling, plus many other helpful services. Tell them you heard it on the David Spoon Experience and receive a substantial discount. Substantial means a whole bunch. Call them at 817-707-7672 or go to their website, menofgodmoving.com. That's menofgodmoving.com. And check them out on Facebook. The Lord's Word says, serve wholeheartedly as if you were serving the Lord, not men. Ephesians 6:7. Allow Men of God Moving the privilege of serving you. And listen to Johnny Hill, the owner, often on the David Spoon Experience. To hear his testimony, reach out to Men of God Moving. Johnny's testimony will move you. God bless.
Because if there is no resurrection, there is no eternal being. Do you understand? It's not like we all do an osmosis and become part of some gaseous cloud that hangs around Jupiter, and that's how we get one with the universe. That's rubbish. Jesus Christ died on the cross, was buried, and 3 days later was raised from the dead. And every single book in the New Testament testifies to that fact.
The David Spoon Experience.
Get your real estate agents here on sale, only a dime a dozen. Step right up and get your agents.
What's going on here?
Real estate agents are in bloom here in Texas, so they're being offered only a dime a dozen.
Is this how real estate agents seem to you, a dime a dozen? Well, that's enough. Kimberly McQuinn, Realtor and Broker Associate with Fathom Realty, is not a dime a dozen real estate agent. Real estate isn't her hobby, it's her passion. With over 12 years of experience, Kimberly knows real estate isn't about selling, it's about the relationships. Get a free consultation by reaching out to Kimberly at turn2realtyteam.com. That's turn2realtyteam.com. Or call 903-484-6637. That's 903-48-HOMES. Whether you're a first-time home buyer or an experienced investor, whether you need a short sale or are looking for foreclosures, Kimberly is the quality you want and deserve for your real estate needs. Don't get the dime a dozen agent. Turn to the best. Turn to Kimberly.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Don't forget about Glenn and September and their website, livinginhisgrip.com. You have that opportunity to get some of their music for free. Always a good price, my favorite price, personally. Let's get ready to get our next trivia question rolling. This is a pretty easy one, so I don't want anybody, no freaking out. Just take a deep breath. Actually, you should have seen me when I was doing my elliptic glider. It was like, anyway. So how did Judas indicate to the crowd who Jesus was? What'd he do? Don't forget, by the way, our website, hemustincrease.org. Website, hemustincrease.org, hemustincrease.org. Email David at hemustincrease.org. Facebook, He Must Increase Ministry. YouTube, He Must Increase Ministry. Okay, that's our website. That's not a lot new that I put on there. I think they added one new thing, but it was kind of, you know, somebody's going to have to come in and redo my website. I don't know what I'm doing. I just throw things up there, and I hope they look good. There's a lot of colorful stuff on there. Okay, do we have somebody answering the trivia question? That's my great internet skill. Colorful. This is David. Who am I talking to?
Hey, David, again, this is Al.
Hey, Al. Okay, so this is a good one. This is a classic because you got Judas and a lot of sneaky things going on underneath for that guy. What did he do to indicate to the crowd who Jesus was?
Now, are you talking about when they went to take him to the cross, correct?
Yes, right. At the moment before they seized him.
It wasn't a high five, was it?
No.
A kiss.
No, it was not a fist bump or a high five. It was a kiss. That is correct. You are right, sir. That's right. They did a little rock, paper, scissors. That's right. Yeah. It's like, no. And it's what's so sneaky about that is, and people I think don't recognize this, okay, so in when we say kiss in the older culture, in the culture of the Greek, this was a friendly, extremely friendly gesture. If you could think of shaking somebody's hand that you've met or that you've connected with or been with for a while, and you shake their hand, then you pull them in close to you and you give them a big hug, right? You give them like a big mm-hmm. hug, like, yeah, how you doing, man? It's great to see you. It's that kind of gesture. And so it's really intimate, yeah. And that's what he used in Betrayal. That's why that's right. So sneaky. Good job, my brother. Thank you.
Take care. Have a good day.
All right, you too. Excellent. Hell, rocking and rolling today. So we give him a lot of props. Show number four.
I kind of thought it was Ronnie at first, and he was like, no, I beat Ronnie. And I was like, oh.
Yeah. Ronnie's been a little MIA of late, but I think he's probably got some reasons. When he calls in, you know what he's going to do. He's just going to. You know, boom, 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 boom. And we're going to give even Al, we're going to give everybody, we're going to do some new things on trivia. I should tell you this. We're going to be adding a little bit of a new structure. We're going to do a few more multiple choices because the questions might be a little tougher. I was going through my 5,000 book. There's some tough questions in there. The only good thing for you is that they will be more book-centric. So that might be helpful. Let's do a little bit of Hebrew.
Hava, Nagila, Hava, Nagila, Hava, Nagila, Venice.
All right, here's your Hebrew word. This one I think Paige already has, so I don't have to send this one off. This is the word for gold. It is Zahab. Zahab.
Zahab.
Zahab. Now, there's some people that think a way to remember it is, now don't get upset, people. These are what we call mnemonics, different ways to help people remember words. Zahab the gold, but it would be Zahab the gold, so it doesn't write work as well. But the idea is Zahab the gold, Zahab, and so this is, but you got to add the B. Zahab, Zahab, the Zahab. There's one pronunciation of Zahab, but I think that's incorrect. I think it's gold is Zahab. Zahab, gold. There's gold. There's Dahab in them there hills. See, that's how you would do that. All right. That's worth a dollar. Okay, here we go. Did we cover everything else? I think so. All right. I know you guys like me. You have to like me because Jesus said you have to love me. So you have to at least love me. You don't have to like me. Oh, no, you got to like me. 2 Kings 23:13, go inquire of the Lord for me and the people and all Judah concerning the words of this book that has been found. For great is the wrath of the Lord that burns against us because our fathers have not listened to the words of this book. This is a pretty important portion in 2 Kings. In fact, I would actually encourage you to check out 2 Kings 22. I want you to be aware about something about this book. And since it's the 400th show, it just makes sense for me to bring it up. Okay? This isn't, that was just written by a bunch of men. It's like, nope. You got 40 authors over a 1,500-year span. Everybody from kings to peasants to fishermen to laborers, everything in between. And it has one thread through the whole thing, and that thread is red. So therefore, you should read what God has to say. If a Martian landed in Washington, D.C. and came out of that vehicle and stepped on that grass and said, here is a book for you to read, there's not a person in the world that wouldn't get that book. Guess what? That happened in a different context. The creator of the universe, the most powerful being that there is, the God above all gods and Lord above all lords and King above all kings gave a book. And we should be reading it. Now, here's an interesting irony to the truths. More written and printed and copied and voiced and typed Bibles than there are any other book. There's somewhere between 7.5 and 8 billion people, and there's somewhere between 7.5 and 8 billion contexts of Scripture between printed, copied, voiced, typed, written, and otherwise. Isn't that amazing? I think the Lord's going to go, there was plenty. Okay. The other thing, from a historical documentation point of view, the second most documented manuscript in the world is the Iliad, with 623 or 639 documents that verify its authenticity. By contrast, the New Testament has 20,000 Koinonia Greek manuscripts. Not even close. That's how much evidence there is. Okay? Here's another thing. Now, I'm not going to let you quote me on this because I am putting an asterisk by this. But J. Barton Payne's Encyclopedia of Biblical Prophecy could be good, could not be good, so I'm not going to recommend anybody gets it. But he's listed 1,239 prophecies in the Old Testament, 578 prophecies in the New Testament, for a total of 1,817 prophecies, of which 75% have been fulfilled, 25% to go, according to him. Jesus fulfilled, though this is correct, 360-plus prophecies by himself, a numerical impossibility. There is no, it is in infinity to be able to do that. There is no number. Another thing, this is my favorite thing, and you know this. The dude created the planets and life, and the dude can write a book. This is my main argument. People get so mad at me. I had somebody stomp out. I said, well, God created the heavens and the earth, right? He goes, yeah. He goes, so he can write a book. He goes, no, but I said, I know, but God created the heavens and the earth, right? He goes, yeah, but I said, so he could write a book. And he goes, well, you don't understand all the people. I said, but God created the heavens and the earth, right? He goes, yes, but I said, so God can write a book. At some point, I guess you just have to walk away, don't you? It's not a lot there. And then the other part about that I want to make this important is why that book's important and why I've been in it every day and why I've read the Old Testament over 100 and I don't know how many times, just a lot of times, and the New Testament a lot of times, is because I've been doing this for over 41 years. It works. I mean, I'm not perfect. I don't walk a perfect life. I don't do everything perfect. But I want stuff that works. Well, it works. Engaging with the Word of God gives me a knowledge and a connection. John chapter 5, verse 39-40, to connect to Jesus. And he makes it work. So, of course, I want to be in the book because I want to know Jesus. And I know him a little, but I can know him better. I want to know the letter better so I can know my Savior better. And it helps me to pray, and it helps me to understand him. It helps me to comprehend how he thinks and how he sees things. That's why you got to be in the book. There's all these other reasons, but when you don't listen to the book, it hurts us. That's why you hear me say what I say. God created the universe. The dude can write a book. Okay, you've been listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Take a 23-hour break, then we'll come back. More Insanity with Spoonanity. Talk to you then.
Views and opinions expressed in the preceding program are those of its participants and do not necessarily reflect those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.